Hello, 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 and welcome back to episode number 5 of the podcast. How's it going? What's going on? What's good? I can't believe it's already... Actually, it simultaneously feels like a week and a month at the same time, but here we are, folks, back with another good story. This one, everyone, I'm gonna tell you right off the bat, sit down, strap in, we are on a roller coaster. This is going to be a journey. This is going to be the most, I don't want to say the most exciting, because they've all been exciting in their own ways, but this is the most, I think she'd appreciate this. This is the most unhinged episode that we have had yet. Today, I talked with a lovely person. Her name is Annie Annalise. I talked with her about being 19 years old and pregnant. And let me just say, that is not where the story ends, nor where it begins. It was completely unexpected. I really didn't, you know, like with these, I basically get someone that tells me a very vague explanation of their story, and then during the interview, it all unfolds for me. I want it to be very natural, I want it to be very spontaneous, and I want to be just as surprised as you are. Let me just say, there's a lot of surprises in this one, so, and I'm laughing just because of how shocked I was at the story. I just didn't expect it. Really, really strap in. It is a wild ride. I will say, and again, putting on my serious hat here, because it's you know, it's a serious thing. One, it's a serious thing to become a parent. Two, it's a very difficult thing to become a parent, especially as a 19-year-old. So I have so much empathy and understanding for Annie and for her boyfriend and for her family and everything. So definitely go into this with that. This is a hard situation. This person isn't going to say everything perfect. This person is still, you know, a young person. And also, I want to give a trigger warning. There is, you know, light talk about domestic abuse. It was something I didn't expect to come up in this conversation, so it really threw me off guard. And sometimes when I'm thrown off guard, I tend to combat it with comedy in a way, or I tend to combat it with trying to lighten the mood. So by no means do I want it to be belittled, or by no means do I want it to be looked over, but that is something that is very loosely talked about in the story, and it is a part of the story, it is reality, and I don't think it's fair to cut it out and fair to sugarcoat reality. Also, just to reiterate, I got the consent of both Annie and her partner multiple times to make sure that this is a story that is okay to share, and they reassured me that they were totally comfortable and fine with this being shared. So without further ado, please click the like button if you're watching, give us 5 stars if you're listening, leave a comment down below, and please enjoy my interview with Annie.
And then get into it.
Yeah, okay. Hello, hello, and welcome back to yet another episode. Today, I'm here with the lovely Annie or Anna or Annalise. I'll let you introduce yourself.
So, okay, so my name is Annalise, but my friends do call me Annie. It was like I used to play soccer when I was like 5. My friends were like, oh, that's like way too long. So we shortened it up and it's stuck with me ever since.
Annalise is pretty, though, by the way. Thank it's a very, you. Very pretty name.
Like, thank you.
Sometimes the elongated ones can be a little bit annoying, but no, that one, you got it. It's
thank
pretty.
Thank you. You're blessed. A lot of people have Annalisa and like an Annalise, and I don't really correct people whenever they say Annalise because it's like, yeah, close enough, whatever. But like, but it is Anna, like Anna in the beginning. So yeah.
And what are your pronouns for the audience?
They're she, her. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry.
No, you're fine. No worries. It's yeah, I feel like I had to learn, like not that I had to learn my pronouns, but it's definitely something that's like new, you know, yeah, to say your pronouns out loud.
Yeah, definitely. Like having to like learn to say that in a conversation, like, oh, hi, I'm me and this is me.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm fascinated with you because I got thousands of responses to be a part of this podcast, and mm-hmm. I didn't have anyone else who responded with your story.
Really?
So, no. So
that's so interesting. Like that's why I put the LOL, because I was like, LOL, 19 and pregnant, because I figured like, oh, that's probably like half the responses are just like being young and having a kid, or you know what I mean, like whatever. But huh, that's interesting.
No, you were the only one, just like a little boat in an ocean was you.
Oh. And, love that.
Okay, so I want to break this down. I want to know everything. You can give me a little backstory on you if you want, or you can just tell me like how how you got here to being 19 and pregnant, how you feel about it, but paint a just picture. Whatever. Who are
okay,
you?
Okay, so yeah, I guess I'll just give like a short background on myself. I'm 19 now. I was actually diagnosed with type 1 diabetes when I was 4 years old. So I've had diabetes 15 years. And that's like, you know, a chronic illness that just like attacks your immune system. So it's an autoimmune disease. And yeah, struggle with that. Like still, like we're still out here, but you know.
Still fighting.
Yeah, you just take one step at a time. Then, yeah, as I got older, things were just kind of whatever. I wasn't really taking care of my diabetes around the time that I was like 11 or 12 years old. I kind of like checked out. I was like, yeah, I'm good. I do not want to do this anymore. And I just pretend like I didn't have it. And I ended up actually like damaging my kidneys and stuff and having to almost go on dialysis. Almost. Oh, I was so close. Yeah, like my kidneys were like about to shut down and stuff, and I was being hospitalized. I've had like a couple seizures and stuff like that, just from like lows and just I don't know, just what normal, like what I would consider like normal diabetic things, though. You know what I mean? A lot of people kind of like tell us to like muzzle our like disability sometimes, you know what I mean? Because people are like, oh, how could you not be like better prepared? But it's not. It's not so black and white. It's very gray. Like, so most of my life was just living like, and even still now, it's just very gray. You know what I mean? I'm constantly just having to switch up everything on the daily, carry like extra things with me, always be prepared. You know what I mean?
So naturally, adding a pregnancy into it, you were like, wow, let's just make things easier.
No, yeah, it was so bad. But so then, how I found I was pregnant. But I moved out of my parents' house at 18. I was one of those people that was like, I am determined to leave here as soon as I possibly can. And it took me 6 months. So I was 18 and 6 months or whatever, and moved out of my parents' house, signed a lease, came home with the lease and said, yep, I signed it. So you guys cannot tell me anything else no longer. And I signed the lease with my boyfriend, who is the father's child. And so we live together, still live there. I love my apartment. It's so great. But about a month after we like signed the lease together, it was not going so well. They do not tell you about moving in with
anybody,
with another person that's not your family. Yeah. Like the rules are really different than what you would think they are, I guess. I don't know. Like when you live with your siblings, you know, you guys just like fight and then you get over it. But like when you fight with people who you didn't grow up with and you guys don't share the same backgrounds, it's harder to come from like an understanding of, oh, they're just upset, or like, oh, we just had a fight. You know what I mean? Like things tend to last a lot longer than just like texting each other being like, I'm gonna get Del Taco. Do you want some? You know, or whatever.
You very quickly realize like they have a backstory that you weren't a part of. They have things that you won't understand. They say that it's really difficult to know a person even as early as like 3 years. Like they say it takes a long time to really know a person, and that's something no one ever told me.
Yeah, and me and my boyfriend, we've been together 2 years. So we know, like you think you know someone, and then you move in with them, and it's like, you just have no idea. Like they just have little things that just like bug them to no end, or like, you know, like, what I mean? Just think, which same with me too, though. Like he, like, I don't know why he just decides to shave his face over the counter, which is fine, but like clean the hair up. You know what I mean? Like, why do you like, just leave it there? Because then I have to wipe the counter every time.
Yeah. You're like, pick up after yourself, clean up, please. Mm-hmm. It is. You really don't. Like as much as someone can be, you know, like your boyfriend, your soulmate, your lover, whatever, you don't see those little habits until you're with them all day. It's why when I see people go on, they like move into vans together and do like van life, I think that is the worst idea.
Like, because wow,
you're in a small space and you're with each other 24 hours a day, and that sounds romantic, but Even like with my mom, even with my best friends, I'm like, I need a little bit of a break. It's nothing against you. It's just me. I need me time.
Yeah. Or if you like grew up with like always being in your room with the door shut, like then all of a sudden it's just like, you know, there's no knocking on the door and what, like, no, like you guys share the space. So it's like, they just walk in or whatever, or you don't realize, you know, like the one day that you kind of like throw the clothes next to the hamper, but you both do that. So yeah. Then those clothes just pile up next to the empty hamper. Yeah. Or like the chair, like everyone has the chair, you know, that just has like clothes and random stuff. Yeah. No, like it gets crazy. Cause you know, like we both have the chair, but then it's, nobody's cleaning it up or doing anything with it, so it's like, yeah.
So let's roll it back and focus in a little bit. So let's
okay. So
let's talk about specifically the day that you found out you were pregnant as a 19-year-old.
So I got arrested. Yeah. So that's where I was going with this. And I found out I was pregnant in jail because they run a pregnancy test on you when they book you. Yeah.
Girly, I did not know that. And I am genuinely so
shocked.
That's
why I was like building up, because I was just ready to like drop the bomb. But like,
I have tingle. I've never had like visible tingles right now.
Yeah.
You know, oh my God, I have so many questions. Holy shit.
Yeah, it's okay.
Okay, well, so
okay,
let's
let it sit there for a second.
Let's focus in on this. Okay, so yes. you found, first of all, you're in jail, but you found out you're pregnant. What did you feel? Because all of that combined has to be so emotional.
So what had happened was my boyfriend threw a party at our apartment, and I came in and started kicking everyone out, and we were fighting. You know what I mean? Just like I said, like when you move in with people, you don't realize and. He likes to surround himself with lots of people at a time. I cannot handle that. And we live in a loft, so it's not the door. There's no doors. You know, the only door is like the bathroom door. So I came in, I started kicking everybody out. And then pretty much they were mad that I shut the party down. And they called the cops on me saying that I was hitting them and that I was like throwing a fit. I didn't even live there because some of them, I guess, didn't even know I lived at the apartment. Cause they just, you know, oh, they just came to party, you know, or whatever. And yeah, I guess it just got like out of control. And then the cops came and I had slapped my boyfriend in the face because, you know, I was really mad. And I was like, you need to tell these people, like, this is my house too, you know, and we share this. And because I admitted to the cop that I slapped him in the face, I got arrested because that's like domestic violence. So yeah, they took me down to the station and I had to get booked into the jail. So for a slap on the, you know, like people are like, oh, you know, you should have slapped him in the face. Girl, I did.
You're like, like, I did. You're like, I did.
And I faced the consequences because yeah,
it's a tough, you know, it's like a tough thing because mm-hmm. it's one of those things where, you know, people fight and things mm-hmm. happen, but you know, if the roles were reversed, if that was your boyfriend slapping you, it's mm-hmm. like everyone would be like, of course he should go.
Of course he should go to jail. Exactly.
It's,
so
it's yeah. So did you immediately regret it? I take it that like,
I mean, initially when his friends said that they were calling the cops on me, I was like, okay, well you guys are in my house. You know what I mean? And you guys are all drunk and you know all that, so really it's not on me. Like I just came home from work, like
yeah,
and I worked overnight, so I was coming in at like 8 o'clock in the morning to like all these people just sleeping on the floor of my house and just like in the kitchen and literally everywhere there was just people, and I was like, what the heck, like but yeah. So I mean, in the moment I was like, oh my God, like what are you doing, you know? And I just like slapped him in the face. And whenever you fight with your siblings, you know, sometimes it gets aggressive, you know, mm-hmm. and like you don't think anything of it because you guys fight and then, you know, you apologize later on. It's just kind of what happens, you know. You're like, okay, yeah, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have hit you, you know. But so since his friends called the cops on me, that happened.
Wow.
And I regret it now, of course, because like I didn't know, if I would have known I was gonna go to jail, it was not worth it at all, you know what I mean? Like literally at all. And so that's definitely like something that if you guys ever if anyone out there ever thinks about like, oh, you know, you should slap your boyfriend. This is why you should not do that. This is number one, why you should never hit another person, because I had to learn the very much hard way. Luckily, though, all the charges got dropped because it was... Also, they have like a lot, like it was like, I don't remember what the word is, but they have overcrowding in the jails and stuff as it was. And also I can't remember the word.
Well, I'm sure you didn't have anything previous
or anything like that. So they dropped the charges on me though.
Okay. We need to focus here because I can't believe that this is a part of the story.
First of all, you're good.
I had no idea. AKA,
That's why I tried to drop kind of a disclaimer in our DMs and was like, okay, look, a disclaimer though. Like there's a lot to get, like there's a lot to unfold here.
So let's focus really hard on the baby. Okay. So you found out you were pregnant mm-hmm. and then you got out of jail and then what did you feel? Like, were you
It was more in jail because I was in a holding cell by myself because of all my diabetes equipment that I had, like, on my body. They put me with other people, and the girls tried to rip it off because it's, like, because it's contraband. And so I was by myself in the cell, and then they came to me with this pink paper that they have you sign a lot of stuff, and I looked at it and it said the top thing was like pregnant women and lactating and what your rights are like in jail. And I signed it and I handed it back to her. And I was like, this is just like if I got like pregnant or something. Right. And she was like, oh, no, like you didn't know, like you're pregnant. And I was like, yeah. And I was like, you gotta be kidding me. Like you have to be joking right now because this boy just sent me. He just sent me here and now I'm pregnant with his baby. Like this is the worst, like this is an all-time low for me. Like, and I'm sitting there, I'm going like, wow, this is an all-time low. Like I'm sitting in my cell now, I gotta call my mom and I gotta be like, can you bail me out? And also I'm pregnant and at this time I was 18. I hadn't turned 19 yet because I only turned 19 in January. Yeah, so I was only 18.
Oh my mm-hmm. gosh.
Yeah, okay, so I was only 18.
so you found out you were pregnant and mm-hmm. you know, excuse me for the bluntness, but
no, you're good.
did you immediately know you were going to keep it, or was that not even a question, or is that something you had to figure out along the way of finding out?
Yeah, just because of everything going on and the fact that I was by myself in the cell. Like a lot of people, they say, oh, before you like make any decisions, you should just sit by yourself and really think about it. And that's when I took that time to do that because I didn't have a phone. I didn't have anything. All I had was time to think. And so I'm thinking, wow, okay, this is real. Like I am pregnant and I am sitting in here. And, you know, what am I going to do? I'm going to go back out there and I'm going to go home to him. Like I don't live with my parents anymore. All my stuff is there. Like, you know, and I'm thinking like, am I going to move out? Like, am I going to, you know, but no, I mean, I was very like set in that moment. I was like, wow. Yeah. Like this is a low, like right here, me sitting on the floor in the jail. This is a low, but I can turn this around and I can maybe, you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. have this baby and take this somewhere good. You know what I mean? Like get something good out of the situation that I'm in right now.
That is powerful that you felt that way, because I, as a person who loves spiraling and loves negative thinking, that would not be my first thought. My first thought would be, it's over. I can't believe this. So the fact that you felt that way right out the gate is genuinely inspiring.
Yeah, no, it's very hard to, like, when you get your rights taken away from you, you really start to realize, like, wow, like the decisions that I make get me every step of where I go in life. Like I, one little slap to the face and that's where I ended up. You know what I mean? And that was 100% my decision. No, I'm not going to be like, oh, what did you think? You know, like yeah. That was my decision. I decided to slap him in the face. Like there's no way around that. And then at some point, you know, decided to have sex and not be careful, essentially. Which that's also like a whole thing, because I was on birth control
See, oh my, but, see, and that's what I was going to ask. Because, you know, especially in the United States, we're both in California, but especially in the United States, you know, sex is very taboo. Sex is really under discussed. We have sexual education courses in school, in high school, but they're very brief. They're not very particular. They're definitely not very inclusive. And they don't really teach you much, especially what happened. They basically pretend that people don't have sex all the time to not have children. And it's a total flaw in our system because obviously most people have sex just for fun. It's not, people are not trying to have children every time they have sex.
Exactly. So. And their biggest thing is, oh, always just wear a condom. But, you know, like things happen with that too. So I had been on birth control for like 3 years prior to this, just because I also had like really bad periods and stuff like that. So part of it was that, but then the other part was the fact that the birth control I was on was like to stop or prevent pregnancy. What they don't tell you, and some people may know this because there was a TikTok trend that went around about if you take antibiotics and you are on birth control, they cancel each other out.
Yep.
Yes. I was not fully aware to the situation. And when you go to multiple different doctors, they don't always know exactly what prescriptions and things you are on. So one doctor from a hospital prescribed me, I don't even know what it was, but I know it was an antibiotic because it's the only other thing I was taking at the time other than my birth control that could have done anything. But so
antibiotics can really they do really good, but they also are really, really strong and can really mess you up if you have, you're not supposed to have them frequently. You're not supposed to have too many of them. So it makes sense. And again, that's not something we were taught. That is definitely something I just randomly plucked from the internet. And
yeah.
Found
like
out.
Something that you find out on the internet, you know, and I missed that trend, I guess, because I was not with the trends at the time, I guess, because it definitely happens. Like,
So when you are deciding leaning towards keeping it and leaning towards that, how does your family react? How does your boyfriend react? How does everyone react again to being 19 and pregnant?
I actually was not the one to tell either of my parents exactly. My mom, technically, it was me, but it wasn't me. And my dad, I did not get the opportunity to tell. So while I'm sitting there and I called my mom to bail me out, I was like, let's just go with one bad thing at a time. So I was like, all right, let's get bailed out. I get out or whatever, and I go back home to Chris. That's my boyfriend. And I start calling like doctors and stuff, trying to get appointments. And I tell them, okay, my insurance is still under my mom's insurance, but can you please bill everything to my address? Because I don't live with them. Now, I don't know what happened, but I was at my parents' house the one night and my mom brings in the mail and she goes, huh, that's weird. This is from UCI, but I don't go to that hospital. And I was like, oh, I do. It's a bill for me. Like, let me see it. And she's like, but it has my name on it. So that's really weird. So I'm guessing whatever they did, they put my mom's name on like the bill and billed it to her, which I don't know, because I tried to make it extremely clear, like, please do not do that. Like, please do not do that.
I do not know how to tell you that this is so important that I have this information. This is really important.
This is very important. Do not do that. So she starts to open it. And I was like, well, can I, like, read it first just so that I can, like, see what it is? I swear, I opened the mail. The biggest words it could possibly say, maternal fetal screening, and it's like a bill for like $200, which healthcare also, that's a whole other thing, but for the biggest letters on the whole page, it said like maternal fetal screening $200, and I was like, huh.
You're like, so can you sit down for a moment? There's no way to avoid this now.
And so, yeah. Well, no. Yes and no. You know what I mean? Like, you think you know what you're doing in the moment. You're like, oh my God. So I'm like, I'm quick on my feet. I'm trying to think. I'm like, it's okay. I'll just take it. And so I just start shoving it like in my bag or whatever. And she was like, what? No, if it's like a medical bill, you're on my insurance. Like, I will pay for it, even though like you're 18. Like, I'll pay
Oh,
for it. It's okay. And I was like,
that's
no, like
nice.
it's fine. Like, I got it, you know? And then she starts chasing me around with the letter in my hand. And so I take the front page and I give her the other two. And I'm like, oh, here, then you can see these ones because they didn't have like anything on it. And she's like, no, where is the other paper? And so we're chasing each other all around the house. And finally, she corners me in a one room and I hand her the paper and I was like, I'm sorry. And I handed her the paper and I said, maybe you should sit down. And then she just sat there and she looked at it and she looks up at me and she goes, it's gonna be okay. And I was like, oh my God. And she goes, it's not the end of the world, you know, it's just a baby. And I was like,
I'm gonna
okay.
cry.
Yeah, no, like I started fully crying because I was expecting the exact opposite. Like I was so ready for her to be like, you're messing your whole life up. Like I just bailed you out and now you come here with this, you know, and I don't
That is
know, just
a that's a
yeah, starting
good
to
that's a
go.
good parent. That is a
Yeah,
good
she just
parent.
took a deep breath and she was like, it's gonna be okay. And I was like, wow, okay. So
That
that
is, I mean, that's as good as it can go. I feel like I relate everything in terms of personal experience to,
went good.
like, it reminds me so much of my coming out story, coming out to my mom, because
Yeah.
I felt the same way of like, this feels so heavy. This is so life-changing. What if she reacts poorly and
Yeah.
it completely changes my relationship? It
Yeah.
completely, you know, it feels like that. Totally different, but it feels like it.
No, I
And
get
she
because you're
had the
adding
same.
something else to your relationship. Because even though
Yes.
it is my child, that is adding it to my mom and I's relationship because she is gonna be a grandma for the first time. Like, that's exciting for her, you know what I mean? But also because I'm so young, like I could see why lots of parents get like extremely like, you know, this is detrimental and you know what I mean? Like, this is not good and all this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so, you know, I told my mom, I didn't really tell my mom. I was not ready to tell her
Yeah.
yet, especially because,
I'm sure
yes,
you were still
while,
processing
yeah,
it.
no, definitely. Like, you know, and while like I was definitely leaning towards the like, oh, I'm probably going to keep him, like, you don't know the circumstances because with also like my medical conditions and stuff, if it were to harm me or something, it would not be an option for me. So,
Totally,
you know what I
totally.
mean? So while I wanted to have more information too before I told her, like, hey, so here's this, but also here's my plan. You know what I mean? But there was no plan. I didn't have a puh. I didn't have anything. Like I didn't have
I didn't have the paper, I didn't have the pencil. I had the thought to have a plan, and that's as far as I got.
Yeah, that's as far as I got. We're gonna have a plan. We never got to that part, but yeah.
That
And then
is.
I,
Yeah,
yeah.
and I mean, but then I'm sure it just then you're like, okay, well, at least I'm sure there was relief of like, at least I have my mom. Like, I out of all the people in this world, as long as my mom supports me, I know that is so
Exactly.
comforting to me. And the rest are important too, but there's something about my mom that I just want the
No,
most.
yeah, definitely. But so my mom, though, after she says her very, you know, it's gonna be okay thing, she goes, if you don't tell your father before you leave the house today, like I'm going to tell him. And I told her, like, no, because I'm not ret like I wasn't even ready to tell you, and you shouldn't like be able to take the right to tell like my dad that I'm going to have like a baby,
Yeah.
a child, like a person. I'm gonna have a person, you know what I mean? And I left because I wanted to make my point of I'm not ready. And
Yeah.
she told him anyway. And as soon as I got home, he called me and he was like, so what are you gonna do? And I told him, I'm going to keep it. This man, he was the five stages of grief right there. Like, started screaming at me. This cannot be happening. You are too young. You're effing up your life. You know this and that. Like, he was the full, like, the whole thing. You know, this cannot
I
be
get
happening
it.
right now. Like, yeah. And your mom's gonna make an appointment tomorrow for you to get an abortion. All that.
Yeah.
And then I can hear my mom in the background now.
Okay, sorry, there was some car alarm.
But I can hear my mom in the background of the call with my dad just crying and sobbing, and she's going, you don't know what you're like, what you're like, you can't even prepare yourself for what you have to go through. And so she like completely flipped the script from it's okay to I agree with your dad 100%. Like, you don't know what you're doing. You don't understand what we had to like sacrifice to have children. And, you know, you're so young and you were going to do this. You dropped out of college. You went to jail. You are now having a baby. Like, this is not happening.
I feel so bad. I feel so bad that jail is now a part of the conversation.
No, yeah, this is not happening.
It would be a much different story if jail wasn't immediately intertwined again to this already really, really difficult part of someone's life.
The other thing that I think about is how am I going to tell my child, like, how I found out about him? Like, that could go two ways. Like, that he could be very upset, you know what I mean? Or he could also just be like, mom, like, you made a mistake, you know what I mean? And like, people make mistakes, but it's hard to tell. He's still not even here yet. Like, I haven't had him yet, so I don't even know. Maybe I'll start whispering it.
What's the fruit size? How big is he right now? Is he an avocado? Is he a mango?
I don't exactly know that. He's 2.5 pounds.
Okay. I mean, hey, it starts like going quickly. Yeah. So
yeah. I haven't been following like a lot of the stuff fruit charts. That way. Yeah, like fruit charts and stuff like that. I'm pretty sure the last time, if I had to guess, like the size wise, probably the size of like a cabbage. Like he's pretty big. Yeah.
It's beefy.
Yeah.
It's cabbagey.
Yeah.
It's lettucey. So wow, that's just so, you know, there's so many unique parts to that story that are really truly like your own, and you can take that on and you can wear that with pride of like, this is me, this is my story. It's not perfect, it's not, you know, like bright and shiny, and everyone idealizes pregnancy of something like only happens after marriage, only happens when we want, happens quickly, happens beautifully, happens wonderfully. And they make it sound like that's the only way that, you know, people are brought into this world and that's the only way that process happens. But again, like the reality is accidents happen, things happen untimed, you know, kids take longer to have than a lot of people want. People don't talk about that. And, you know, it's just like, it's a difficult thing. So it's one of those things where I could never make that decision for anyone. I can never fault anyone for wanting or not wanting kids. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that you're all of a sudden flooded with all those emotions, especially because it's very real to you right now.
Yeah, definitely. And like, especially after that call with my dad, I just like hung up and started crying. And my boyfriend was like, it's going to be okay. Like, he's just in shock. And like, and I was like, well, what about my mom? Like, my mom said it's going to be okay. And now like, she's telling me like, I can't do this. And like, so what happened in the 25 minute drive from, you know, here to there, or from there to here, whatever. But yeah, so I was like going through the motions. I was like sobbing. Because it's hard to not have, like, you know, your parents' approval, especially when, like, for something as big as that. Because I'm just going, like, if you're, and this was, like, really messed up, I guess, to, like, but I asked him, I said, if your grandkid knew that you did not want him here, how would he feel? And he was like, I don't care. And I was like, yeah, well, like, I have, like, in this moment, especially, like, I have now definitely decided I'm keeping him. Not just because of the whole, like, oh, I'm going to rebel against my parents. But, like, after that conversation made it very clear to me, like, he was like, oh, your mom can just, like, you know, have you get an abortion. And I'm going, like, no, it's just not in the cards for me, unless if it was, like, something for my safety. Otherwise, I couldn't do it. I couldn't, like, you know, give him up. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And people also, you know, you think you know what you would do or whatever, but until you are actually put in that situation, it's really different. You know what I mean? Like, because like you said, all the emotions flood you, and that really does like change how things are. And people are like, oh, you just use logic, but to me, you know what I mean? Like the logical thing, I'm financially stable. You know what I mean? Like I don't live with my parents. My parents are only still paying like my medical expenses. And even then it's like, I'm just on my mom's insurance. You know what I mean? Like,
which is a normal thing in America until you're 26. You know, most exactly. people are. I was on my parents' insurance until I was 26. You know,
it's normal. And the healthcare is very expensive and stuff. So that's the only, like the only tie that I had to like my, like, to anyone else financially, like supporting me. Like I own my car. I pay my car payment. I just paid my registration for my car. Like, you know,
and as much as 19 sounds young, you know, as much as being a teenager sounds young, you still are, you know, you are an adult. You are, you do all of, you have a job, you have a car, you have an apartment. So as much as it sounds young, it's like, it is your life. It is your decision.
Mm-hmm. It definitely. And I, like the other thing is that a lot of people are very much like I can't do it, or you know what I mean, but it's just, it depends on how you set goals for yourself. Like I knew I wanted to move out at 18, and the day I turned 18 I was like, wow, you know, like I'm not moved out yet, so that's a fail. But that's, it's not a fail, it's because I just needed to push myself to work towards my goal. I just needed to work harder at it. You know what I mean? I needed to actually get on the computer, actually start calling places and go, hey, you know, like, can I come look at this apartment, you know, or whatever. And then it just became like the same thing with a baby, just me pushing, like now I'm just trying to get myself ready that, okay, I'm going to become a mom and I'm going to be tired and I'm going to have to teach my kid how to, you know, like everything, how to be a person. You're teaching a person how to be a person. And that is like insane whenever you think about your own experiences and stuff and the things that your parents did for you. And I had a good life, you know what I mean, like before all this, like, and not saying that it's not still good, you know what I mean, but I'm like, the before myself having my own child, I think my mom did like a good job, you know what I mean, and like and I'm very thankful for everything that she did for me and all the sacrifices that she made. And now I'm just getting myself ready to also make all these sacrifices.
It is pretty, you know, it's the age old saying, it's what everyone says, you know, that like you'll appreciate your childhood, you'll appreciate your parents, or you'll even more so just understand it more the older you get. You know, you think you get it, you think you fully understand what your parents did for you or what your in any way your guardians have done for you, but you really don't until you're an adult, until you're paying your own bills, until you know you have your own kids and you're doing what your parents did for you, the late nights, the long hours, the selflessness. It's, you know, it's one of those things that you really can't understand until you're living it. And
not at all.
And it's being a mother, being a parent is, you know, one of the most selfless things you can do. It's one of the most commendable things you can do. It's one of the most brave things you can do, because it ain't easy. It ain't easy. It's
not at all.
It's the importance that is there for another human life. And if you take it seriously, I think it can be a really beautiful thing.
Yeah. And I definitely agree. And I couldn't agree more, just in like in general. And then I guess going back to like my parents later on down the line, my mom and my sister and my dad went on a trip to Big Bear. So like the mountains. And my dad came back with this, he texted me, he said, I have something for you, like come to the house. And I was okay, because we were still kind of, you know, the tensions were still high. He didn't, you know, like really accept what I was doing. My mom had like turned to the dark side, you know, or whatever at that point.
Which, but, again, like I get it, as much as I want everyone to be supportive. I get, like you said, the five stages of grief. I get that people need to go through them, and it's not pretty, but it's valid. Like it is a real feeling that I'm sure your mom felt. Continue on.
No, but so they came back from this trip and my dad gives me this like little brown like plastic bag, or like a brown like paper bag thing, and I was like, what is this? And so I open it and it's like if you've ever been to Big Bear, like they have the little shops that you can like walk through, and they're all just like street vendor type, you know what I mean? Like they don't even have like the bags that say thank you on them. They're literally just like random bags. And so that's what I was opening. And I open it and I pull out this onesie that says Big Bear on it for the baby. And it's 6 month old. And I look at my dad and he goes, it matches the pajamas that I have. And I was like, so that was like his acceptance. You know what I mean? He was
so sweet.
If you're going to do this, I have matching pajamas with him now. And we can wear them when we will all go on a trip to Big Bear next year. Because I was working. So, yeah. So I couldn't go. But also, you know, like I said, tensions, all that stuff. But yeah. And he gave the onesie to me. And my mom was like, yeah, no, he saw it and picked it out himself and goes, wow, this matches like my pajamas that I have. And I'm going to buy it for her baby.
That's really cute. It's funny how like a little thing like that, I'm sure just felt, I'm sure you were overwhelmed yet again of like, this means so much to me. Even if it's like a little, even if it's not fully what you thought it would be, it's still just that little offering says that he has accepted that a baby will be wearing this and it will be matching him.
And it will be matching him.
DNA similar to him.
Yes. That this is, yeah. Yeah. I always think about when I bring my baby home, I think I'm going to go, hi, this is my offspring, and just hand him to them. Because, you know, just lighten it up. You know what I mean? But yeah. So that was like my parents, though, like kind of acceptance. I never exactly got an apology, but I don't think I ever really would. And also, I don't think I really need one. You know what I mean? Because what they were feeling is valid. You know what I mean? I can understand that they were having a lot also go on, because yes, while all my decisions like really hurt me, like I'm sure my parents, it was hard for them to watch me kind of go down this path of not good very quickly, like the snowballing, you know, effect. And then for them to be like, and now she's pregnant. So
yeah,
so that was their like,
but that's life. Life is turbulent. Life is the unexpected always seems to happen. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the best thing we can do is just roll with it and accept it. I mean, honestly, acceptance is so beautiful. It is so freeing that like it is what it is going to be. This is happening, and resisting it's only going to hurt everyone around you, yourself. It's going to hurt you. So your family, just accepting the decision you've made is a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
I guess kind of my final little bit to this is, you know, you're going to have a kid this year.
Yes.
You're going to have a baby boy. Your life is going to change.
April.
Oh my gosh. Your life is going to change very soon. Mm-hmm. A little April baby.
Yes.
What, I guess, what are you looking forward to being a mother? What do you picture that as?
Definitely one side of it is picturing all the, okay, well, I need to like physically care for this child. I'm not going to formula feed because I don't see like the need for myself. But so like, I'm going to physically exhaust myself and all this stuff for him because of the decision that I made, and I love him, you know what I mean? And all that. And there's the other part of me that's like, he's going to have such a cute little face. Like, you know what I mean? The part of me that's very like, and he's going to have such little feet and I get to put the tiny little socks on him. Like, you know what I mean? There's definitely that side of like, it's going to be so great and he's going to be so cute and like, you know, everything that I could imagine and more. And then there's the other side that's like the reality, really, you know what I mean? That's like, I'm going to be so tired and he's not going to always please me or whatever. But also, you know, I had to learn that as a person. And, you know, you can't please everyone.
It's like you and your boyfriend.
You can't meet your parents' expectations all the time. I'm sure I'm going to expect things of him. And it's just not going to go the same way that maybe I think it will. Or, you know, and he is his own person. Like, he will make his own decisions. And I'm maybe not going to be so accepting of some of them. But I really have no idea. I'm excited for the future, though. It's going to be definitely a journey and definitely something. It's going to be really crazy, especially the other part that I think about, like, selfishly, kind of, is my diabetes. Because I'm like, wow, I'm going to have to put my, like, a lot of moms, what they do is they put themselves aside. They don't eat. They don't sleep. They don't do anything, which is kind of my plan, just because everyone does that. And that's kind of what is like told to you, you know, oh, you're not going to eat, you're not going to sleep. But with me being chronically ill, I am going to have to do those things, because otherwise there's no mom. Like,
you have to take care of yourself too. Here.
Yeah. Like I am going to have to like try and juggle all of these things at once. And like, so physically exerting myself for him, but also like I physically have to take care of myself. And then I also have my lovely boyfriend who is sticking around and everything. And I'm so excited. He's very excited too. That's it's very cute. Yeah. My baby definitely has his nose. It like just from the 4D ultrasounds like that I've gotten, I've been like, wow, y'all are twins. Like,
oh my gosh.
He's gonna pop out. Yeah, he's gonna pop out and they're gonna be twins. And so, you know, like things like that. And just also like starting a family. It's an interesting thing, you know what I mean? You think, oh, this is my like, you know, for me, I'm like, oh, my brother and my sister, my mom, my dad, like, this is my family. And now, like, no, like, now me and Chris are a family, and we are going to have a child. And that is, this is my family now. Or, I mean, I guess an extension of what I already have, but it's really interesting to be connected, or like, you know, like forcibly connected to somebody that way also. Because just a couple months ago, you know, we were like fighting when we first moved in, it was really bad. And now we've gotten to a place of like, okay, you know what I mean, like it's gonna be okay, we're gonna be fine, things are gonna be great, you know what I mean, like we're gonna make it great if it's if we don't think it's great, you know. My apartment's never been cleaner. My apartment has never been cleaner.
You're like, okay, we need to get our shit together really quick. That we cannot control a lot of things, like if the baby can't sleep or if the baby is having eating problems or whatever, but we can control the clothes in the hamper, Chris, and we can control putting our dishes away, Chris. Chris.
Yeah, Chris. Chris. Leaving shavings on the counter, Chris.
Yes, Chris. I'm going to have puke on me from a baby. Stop leaving shavings on the counter.
Yes. Yeah. So we've definitely tried to like tighten that part of our life up, because it is, it's like simple tasks like that, that like we were saying in the beginning, simple tasks like that, that build up over time. And then it becomes like a big mess. You know what I mean? You leave, you leave the laundry next to the basket, like just for like a day, you know what I mean? But pretty soon it's 4 days later and it's all still there. Yeah. So yeah, trying to, and get on a routine. Like a lot of people are like, oh, get on a routine, it's really good. It's hard. You can wake up at the same time every day and every day is different.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Well, it's, I, you know what, it sounds like you're on a journey, and it sounds like you're being set up for like a really special journey too again. So I think you just need to embrace it, and it sounds like you're preparing for it. And
yeah,
I can't wait. I hope we can talk again, you know, at least in like a year or something, to see how this has gone and like how you feel, and to see the cute little baby toes, and to see your dad matching the baby in the in their little outfits. It'll
their
be
little
so cute.
Outfits, yeah.
Well, thank you. So, thank you for being so so honest and everything, and I really appreciate you talking to me.
Yeah, well, thank you. I mean, you know, you've been like such a big part of like a lot of my life for a lot of years, you know what I mean? I've always like followed up on everything that you were doing. So it's kind of, it's very nice to know that you want to follow up on my life, because I am not part of the public eye or anything. Like, it's
it's full circle moment.
Yeah, it is
the circle of life.
Yes. Oh yeah.
I'll talk to you later.
Okay, sounds good.
Hoo-wee, thank you so much for watching. It really kind of cut off a little bit quickly there. I would have loved to talk to Annie longer, but I had a commitment after this. And, you know, with these, they could go 30 minutes, they could go 60 minutes. I have no idea. And this definitely leaned closer to the 60 minutes. So I hope you enjoyed it. Definitely, if you did, click the thumbs up button, leave a comment down below, subscribe to the YouTube channel, give the podcast 5 stars across all audio platforms, share it with a friend. That would be a great thing you could do this week, is share one of the episodes of the podcast with a friend. I deeply, deeply appreciate it. I had a really great time yet again. You know, it was a roller coaster. There were a lot of twists, turns, ups and downs. I appreciate Annie's enthusiasm, her honesty and her vulnerability in such a hard thing. Like, being a parent is hard. Being a human is hard. And I can only pretend to know what it's like to be a human and a parent at the same time. And I just, you know, I find it really courageous to do so and to go through with your pregnancy and to do it with such, she's doing it with so much drive. Like, you can see she's very confident and she's very excited to be a parent. You know, the confusion is there, but like, how could you possibly not be confused? And I just find that very commendable. So thank you, thank you, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for leaving kind comments and kind words and encouraging people and lifting people up and not putting people down. And yeah, I just really appreciate it and appreciate y'all. So thank you for listening. I love you. I hope you get a good night's rest. I hope you are boosted and vaxxed if you can be. I hope you drink a large chilled glass of H2O. I hope you're happy, peaceful, calm, and warm. And I will see you, or you'll hear me, in the next one.